Hey, welcome back, my beautiful gemmers. For those of you that are listening and you already know me, excuse the voice today, but it's going to be an amazing segment. With me today is Marcellus L. Curtis, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about who he is so you can connect the dot, but you're in for a powerful treat. Emphasis on powerful, y'all. So Marcellus Curtis was born on July 13, 1974, in Detroit. He endured a tumultuous childhood marked by adversity after his parents' separation and his father's tragic murder. He navigated a challenging path, dropping out of high school at 14 and turning to survival as a drug dealer. At 17, a door-to-door sales job in Detroit led him to a new life in Las Vegas, where he became a husband and father to four children. Marcellus' early experience ignited a quest for understanding this past, prompting him to explore the lessons he gained from his struggles while also enduring prison stints. He transformed his setbacks into stepping stones, y'all. For growth, his transformative journey culminated in the book Enlightened, Awake and Alive, a testament to embracing challenges and striving for excellence. As an author, entrepreneur, and advocate, Marcellus inspires others to embrace their inner light, y'all. Go inwardly, cultivate self-love, and adapt a positive perspective on life. So that's just a little bit about him, but a bio does not do it justice. So without further ado, let's welcome the man behind it all, Marcellus L. Curtis.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And I know our time is a bit condensed today, but I definitely want to give us the chance to connect with the audience personally and
Okay.
professionally. So, how about we do an icebreaker?
Sounds good.
I want you to share something in your life that you have done where someone may have thought it was crazy from the outside looking in, but to you, it actually built your character.
I would have to say that something just came to mind. When I was 17 years old, I was shot and by a girlfriend's ex-boyfriend. And I remember just the neighborhood, people wanted to have take revenge. And I saw him in the store and something just came over me and I heard something say, "Forgive him." And I walked up to him. He was like, "So, what are we gonna do?" And I said, "I'm gonna give you, I'm gonna forgive you. And I would like to let this one go." And he was like, "You serious?" And I was like, "Yeah." And I shook his hand. And when I left the store, my cousins was like, "What was that about?" And I was like, "I think we just need to do something different." And so looking back now, a lot of my cousins tell me that that changed their life. And so, you never know who's watching your actions. And so, yeah, sometimes just take a minute and just take responsibility before you just kind of react. You just rather respond to the situation. So I would have to say that.
Wow, and that's powerful. And the reason why I said that's powerful, because how many times do you know people who look like you and I that say, you know what, I'm gonna live by the code, I'm gonna die by the
Yes,
code,
yes,
like you
yes.
get me, I'm gonna get you, or what,
Yes,
whatever the
yes,
case may
yes,
be.
yes.
And next thing you know, we're in these, bloodbaths or whatnot, because
Right,
people
yeah.
are fighting for turf and whatnot. And I'm first
Right.
generation American, but that's what I've heard growing up
Right.
with certain people around me. Not that I've encountered any of this. So I'm just so grateful that you shared that, because there may be another young man listening to this segment
Yes,
where they
yes.
heard how you were proactive versus reactive, and how the
Right.
tide of the battle shift, not only for you, but those who are watching you in the
Yes,
limelight. And
yes,
now
yes.
their path and trajectory has shifted by you just saying, you know what, I'm not going to be like the others. I'm not going to be an
Right.
eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth.
Right.
I'm going to
Yes.
have grace. I'm going to have mercy, and I'm going to, exuberate gratefulness and thankfulness, because even though you were shot, you still live. There are other
Yes.
people out there who were shot who did not make it, but you made it.
Yes.
So
Yes.
now you're going on to the other side. So thank you for sharing that
Yeah.
icebreaker.
Yeah.
Now we're going to segue into today's topic, which
Okay.
is, trials and tribulations. And I think I chose this one today because I feel like everyone, no matter your race, your background, your nationality, your creed, no matter what, we have all faced some forms of trials and tribulations. But how do we deal with those trials and tribulations to get over to the other side is what sets us up for today, tomorrow, and future generations to come.
Right.
Because if we keep on doing the same thing over and over, the definition of that is insanity. But
Right.
when we tick, beat, and sign or sway to
Right.
another beat, another song,
Right.
then we are the change makers and we
Right.
can be the people that we look forward to by us just taking something into our own state and having that accountability for ourselves and projecting that outwards.
Right.
So from your vantage point, Marcellus, when you hear trials and tribulations, what comes to mind?
Finding the purpose in them, because I think in order for us to grow, our progression is determined by the way that we process on what we're going through. And so either you look at it from a fearful standpoint to where you think it's happening to you, or it's a love standpoint where you say it's happening for you, and how can you be better? And so ultimately, that what we have to do is change our perspective on the things that happen in our life, because if you, for me personally, I feel I believe that I'm a child of God. And so he said that all things work for the good. And so with that being said, with that mindset, you have to be able to look at all things and just find the purpose in them. And so I think no matter what trials and tribulations we go through, it's a purpose in it, because in the moment, the worst things in the moment, they're the worst thing in the moment. But looking back, there was actually some of the better things, the good things that happened to us, because they added something to our life that would not have been discovered otherwise. And
Yeah.
so,
Definitely that character building because whenever things are happening to us, sometimes we don't realize that it's happening for us, for whether it's mental, physical, emotional, or spiritual growth. We're like, why me? But then I heard someone say, why not you? Because if it's happening to you, it's also happening for you to elevate if you could just see past this moment, this circumstance, and you look forward and realize that it's not always about us. Sometimes we may have to go through certain things in order to be the breakthrough and the deliverance that someone connected to us needs in order for us to loose them and break the bondage that they may have. And they may not be in physical bondage, they may be in mental
Mental,
bondage, emotional, or something. And
yes.
we're called to, like that song by Mary Mary says, take the shackles off my feet so I can dance. I just want to praise them. And I feel like how many of us today are having these shackles and this bondage because we just can't shake things. And it could be limiting belief, it could be fear, it could be doubt, it could be envy, it could be greed, it could be so many other things that is
And I
coming
think
to
that's,
us.
yes. And I, you know, so when, you know, when, you know, when, so what's the first thing to come to your mind with trials and tribulations? We're promised that we will go through them. I mean, that is a part of life. And I think what separates the people that either fail or succeed is how we perceive what we go through. And so I think, no matter what we go through in life, we have to look at it, take an opportunity to take a step back and just kind of, find the gray lining in all things.
Yeah, I love
You
that.
know,
And the silver lining. And one thing I want
the
to
silver,
ask
yeah, the
you.
silver lining, yes.
So, in your bio, you mentioned going to prison and having stints. So, I guess multiple times in prison. While you were in prison, like like people say, caged in or boxed in, sometimes people say they get closer with who they are internally. Did you have that experience while you were in
You
prison?
know what? To be honest with you, I think prison, has a spiritual element to it, because if you read the Bible, a lot of God's children was in prison at some point. And I think what I found is that there is a spiritual essence to it, when because I could only wish that we could all be separated from the world at times, because the with the being in the world, there's so much going on to where we're not able to hear ourselves. We don't have a break. And we don't have a chance to just catch our breath. And so for me, being in prison gave me an opportunity not only to find myself, but to just to renew myself, my mentally, spiritually, emotionally, disconnect from, detach from what was going on in the world. And so ultimately, I mean, realistically, honestly, it was one of the best years of my life.
Wow. I really had to let that marinate, y'all. So that pause was tech, but it was also intentional too. And it's funny how technology does things, because when you said it was the best part of your life, I in the background said, wow. And I mounted that. So those of you who are watching the video can see that later on, because you never hear where somebody says prison was actually the best part of their lives. Some people say it was the worst part of their life because life didn't stop on the outside. It just kept on going. But from you, Marcellus, you had a different vantage point and perspective because you tuned out the outside noise and you tapped into the inwards, which is you. And you are powerful because if you know who you are, you also know whose you aren't. And if you know who you are, you know what your destiny and purpose is, because you're now connected to yourself. You're not allowing the world to sway who you are and who you will become, because you're now taking accountability, doing self-reflection and inflection. So would you say that helped you, jumpstart the
Oh,
power of
100%,
gratefulness?
100%, 100%. I mean, it starts when you're, just as a child. I mean, if you, it's almost like a filter in which you, a foundation in which you make based your decisions on. If you look at all things, you try to, find the good in all things. Then no matter whether it's prison, whether it's abuse at home, whether it's a bad relationship, it's being able to find, I don't know, being able to grow from no matter what the situation is.
Okay, and another thing I want to ask to go deeper here, because we're
Okay.
talking about trials and tribulations and the power of gratefulness, but one of the things I want to ask is, what led you to prison? Did it have anything to do with the tragic murder of your
My
father?
father? No. It but well. I was in the so I'm in the entertainment industry, and so partying comes with the entertainment industry, and I just so happened to be caught up in the middle of that, and so it just with drugs, and so that's what led to that.
Okay. And then now, fast forwarding and thinking about where you are now and where you came from, and I'm going to put just all the cards on the table. And when I
Okay,
ask
please
this
do.
question, think deeply here. I want you to think
Okay.
about the trauma in your childhood, losing your father, dropping out of high school, overcoming, the drug dealing lifestyle, and then now the success that you have today. I want you to think about all of the things that you have encountered, and how has those trials and tribulations now catapulted you to your testimony? Because you can't have a testimony without the test.
You know what? It has taught me how to be a better version of myself, because you've named a lot of things there, right? And so say for instance, if you put it on a chart and say it was 10 things that I went through, because I went through the things the way that I did, it's prepared me to basically fulfill my purpose. So what I know now mentally, emotionally, I've been prepared for it. And so with all the trials and tribulations, everything that I've been through, was it, whether it was me losing my father, for example, me not having a father, that absence made me desire a father. And so that, so I use that to desire or motivate me to be a good father. My mom wasn't there. And so that created a desire in me to have a family home. Whether it's whatever the case may be, I process, I always process what I'm going through, to see what God's purpose is for me, because ultimately it wasn't my mom's fault, or it wasn't my dad's fault. And so it was my responsibility how I responded to it. And so, no matter what I've been through in life, I just, I don't know, I just, I've been able to just process it and become better because of it.
And since you've processed and become better of it, better at life and with it, and just, taking what has happened to you and using it for you, and now that you are a father to four amazing children, what are some of the things that you're doing in your fatherhood journey that you wish you had if your father was still around?
Repeat that question.
So
I need to think.
now, oh, sorry. So now that you're a father to four beautiful children,
Right.
what are some of the things that you're doing now in your fatherhood journey that you wish you would have had growing up?
You know what? I made all my mistakes on my own, right? And so what I'm realizing is that we need the experiences to learn the lessons, right? And so with me, what I found is I don't shelter them. I allow them to make their own mistakes. And so that's been a part of being a father, because it's not my responsibility to hold their hand. It's just my responsibility to pretty much give them the tools to make the choices and to go through life. And so whatever they go through and they do, then hopefully they can come back to me. And then my fatherhood is validated by what I gave to them to make it through that. And so for me, I allow my kids to just pretty much just grow in their on their own. And when they left home, I'd already gave them everything I had as far as love, companionship, understanding, patience. And so from here, I'm just here to just to love them. So.
Okay. And thank you for sharing that. And the reason why I asked that question is because sometimes we hear the statement, "Oh, I didn't have a dad, so I don't know
Right.
what it's like to be a father." And I'm like, "Well, you can't use that as an excuse because I'm sure there's other father figures in your life that are model examples that you could glean from." But since I haven't been in that situation, I wanted to
Right.
ask it from two folds here
Right,
because
right.
everyone may see things differently, and one size does not always fit all.
Right. Right. See, but you know what I'm saying? Then another thing is, you can't find, because the grass, people always think the grass is greener on the other side, right? And if you have two parents in the home, then you're supposed to be a happy person, right? But it wouldn't be fair if certain, it wouldn't be fair if needing certain things was meant happiness, because some people just don't have an is not offered to them, and some people grow up without a father. So you have to be able to find love and happiness and joy in other things. And sometimes you might be without a mother or father. Some people are orphans, but they still have a chance to be happy though. So we just have to be able to find, just a purpose and understanding and acceptance in all things, and not feel like God has gypped us in life.
Yeah, and that's facts because you can't just say, why me, poor old me,
Yeah,
because
yeah.
your life did not stop. You're still living and breathing for a
Yeah.
purpose. So
Yeah,
you
and we're
have
not,
to,
yeah,
yeah.
we're not a, you're not a misfit. I mean, we're not just some random occurrences. We're not just misfits. We have a purpose. We've been created to be who we are.
Yep, and some people need to wake up and know that. And I'm
Yeah.
going to speak to you, audience, today and let you know you were created for a purpose, on
Right.
purpose, and it's time
Yes.
for you to tap into yourself and love
Yeah.
yourself. Say your affirmation, say your gratitude, know that you are destined for greatness. And once you know who you are, then you're not going to be swayed by what
Right.
subjective matters around you tell you because you have
Right.
already solidified who you are and whose you are. And when I say whose you are, that's for those of you who are spiritual and you're
Right.
walking in that. You know who has that vertical relationship with you. So
Right.
you'd rather
Right.
focus on the vertical versus the horizontal relationship
Right.
because
Right.
sometimes we allow the horizontal relationships to get in the way of our vertical alignment with our creator and the person who has already, breathed life into us and spoke life into us. So,
Right.
Marcellus, I want to
You
switch
know,
gears.
I would just want to add to that though, because I meet a lot of people, and the way the world is today, everybody has something negative to say, right? All the conversations, they have a negative undertone. Then as soon as you might say, "Oh, well, you lost your dad. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, you know, so you're going through a divorce. Oh, I'm so sorry." And then what that does, when I know we just doing it out of love, we giving that sympathy for them, right? And say, "Oh, we want to apologize for what they're going through." But what I've learned is that me saying people say people say that to me, "Oh, I'm sorry you lost your father," right? But I don't need nobody to be sorry for me in that way. You know what I'm saying? Because that's one of the good things, that's one of the better things, me now understanding was something positive that I needed that to happen in my life. It contributed to me being the person I am today. And so for me, I feel like if a person always saying, "Oh, well, I feel sorry for that," then it perpetuates the sadness and the pain. You know what I'm saying? And so I feel like we have to liberate that and renew our minds from that, to not looking at everything to be something bad. You know what I'm saying? I don't, you know, and so that I just wanted to add to that.
Wow, I felt that. And the reason why I felt that is because I lost my father in November 2020. And people are like, oh, I'm sorry. I know how you feel. I'm like, well, you really don't know how I feel because your dad is still alive. So how can you possibly know what it's like to lose a parent when both of your parents are alive? And so I think if people go from being sympathetic to empathetic and saying, you know, I'm gonna just sit with you and hold space with you versus saying I'm sorry and making it a pity party. Because what it sounds like you're saying is whenever they say I'm sorry, then we on the receiving side, sometimes we internalize it and we may not be
That's
in
my
that
point. That's my
place.
point. That's my point. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Because then that just perpetuates the sadness within you. You know what I'm saying? To where now you're carrying all that, those burdens inside with you. And so we need people to be able to just help us break that bond of sadness and disappointments. You know, to where you that way you can free yourself up from the inside and start, you know, healing yourself from the inside.
Yeah, to renew your strength because you may not have been in that headspace, but because they said that, it conditioned you to go back to that space that you once were in, that you overcome, and now you have to redo it again because of that statement that they made. So, yes.
Right, you hit it right on the head. Yes, dear.
So thank you so much for sharing that. Now I'm going to switch gears to
Go
your
ahead.
book because I know you have the book. So, tell us about your book.
The title of it is Enlightened, Awake and Alive, Looking at Life from a New Perspective. The enlightenment part comes from understanding who we are from a spiritual standpoint, okay? And understanding that everything in life happens for a reason because God is ultimately in control. That's the enlightenment part. And so from there, now you're awake to what's going on in life. So you don't react, you respond to things. And then the more often you do that, then you become more alive and be able to have more joy in your life. And so all of that corresponds with just being able to look at life from a new perspective. And so the book is about just my life journey, you know, just going through life and what I experienced and just sharing the lessons that I learned from them.
And I like the three words you use, enlighten, awake, and alive, because we have to enlighten ourselves to go from the darkness to the illumination and see things brightening. We have to awake who we are internally because sometimes we're sleeping on our gifts and talents and we're in the dormant state. And life is to live again. What does it mean for you to live wholeheartedly and you just to embody, I'm here to do a thing that no one else could do because it was only put inside of me. So what can I do to excite myself? What can I do to exclaim it? What could I do to just run and do it fiercely? Because there's no one else that could shape and do what you can do because there's only one you. So I just, when you said enlighten, awake, live, it's live. It's just like those words are powerful. And to you, they're going to mean something totally different because your life story is your life story, Marcellus. To me, it's going to mean something totally different. But we could come together with the commonality of we're both going through an enlightening journey. We're both trying to awake inwardly to project that outwardly. And we're both trying to live life and be better versions of ourselves on a daily basis.
You know, it's, you know, the looking at, you know, life from a new perspective. If you practice diligently to look at, instead of looking at, just give yourself an opportunity, because you have two options, the way that you perceive things. Just try to just perceive it in the positive way, whether it's you know, it's a stoplight. Well, I didn't need to go, you know, if I'd went any further, I might have got into a car accident. You know, where you're running late for something, whatever the case may be, if you're able to just find a positive in it, you're not only free up the stress within your mind, but you'll walk more into your purpose and be live life more fulfilling.
Yes, and tell them how what whenever you wrote your book, how long did it take you?
It took, well, that, you know what, when I say that, going back to when I said that, being in prison was one of the best years of my life. Ultimately, I know that that's why I went to prison, and so I'm grateful for that. And so it took me, I was there for a year. I went to camp, and that's where I wrote the book at. And it was 5,000 pages, front and back. And so, I mean, if you like to write, you know that's a lot of writing. And so, because I didn't know how to type, it took me 2 years to type it, and then it took me 1 year to get it to publishing.
Wow. And the reason why I ask that is because I believe that everybody has a book in them, whether they
Yes,
write it themselves
yes.
or they get a ghostwriter
Yeah.
or
You
they
know what?
speak it.
Let me just jump. What it is? What's missing is what people, like you say, people. We all have a book in us, but what happens is most people don't understand that who they are and what they have, other people can use. People don't find the value in what they've been through because people constantly telling them that they're sorry for it. But if we can just accept us being who we are, we don't know what, if we can change the pain to love, we have more to offer others.
There's pain and purpose, there's purpose and
Yes,
pain.
yes.
And sometimes I feel like, people don't want to share the things because
Right.
they may have guilt, they may have
Right.
remorse and that
Yeah.
sorrow because of what other people are telling them, but they never know how sharing can actually be
Yes,
the
yes.
unlocking to someone else's
Yes.
locked doors.
Yes.
So I just wanted to put that out there for the audience because it doesn't matter what your past looks like. Your past does not depict your future. Your
Right.
past are the stepping stones to your glory days. If you look at your past and say, even though I went through that, it made me a better man or woman than I am today. And those things do not define me. They do not contain me. And they are not me. They are a part of me, but they're not a reflection of who I am today because growth happens. Evolution happens and we're renewed daily. As long as there's life still in you, that means that there's still more for you to do. So don't allow your
Yes.
path to condition you. So I
Yes.
want to close out here, Marcellus, and I want to ask, what is your call to action for the audience today once they hear all the gems that you dropped today?
You know what? I have a lot of information on my website, marcelluscurtis.com. It just shares some testimonies and just some other writings that I wrote, and this I found them to be uplifting and inspiring. And my book, Enlightened: Awakened Alive, it just shares a light on a different perspective in life. So please go to my website and buy it, I
Yes, y'all.
guess.
And I know you're in the industry, the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
So do you sing, you dance, you
You know what?
act?
I'm on the management side. When you come to Las Vegas, as far as I have a limousine service, concierge service, and then we offer the service in New York, Scottsdale, Australia, London, Las Vegas. So we just it's more of a concierge service. I'm on that part of it. Yeah. So my clients would be the rappers or the singers or the movie stars.
Okay, so if we
Yeah.
have any heavy hitters listening, go get with Marcella so you can have an amazing time wherever
Right.
you're traveling.
So I
So
appreciate that.
my pleasure, Marcellus. And I want to just thank you for just sharing and holding space with me today and just sharing about, trials and tribulations, sharing about the power of gratefulness and also
Right.
the power to forgive because that
Yes.
is what you did. You forgave the person that
Yes.
shot you and,
Yes.
you did not allow life to happen to you, but you allowed it to happen for you. And because
Right.
of that, you are now a testament and testimony to
Yes.
others who
Yes.
may or may not look like you. And it takes courage and bravery to do that. So,
I appreciate that.
audience, if Marcellus can do it, you can do it too.
Yes.
No excuses, no cap. It's time for you to do the damn thing and get
Right.
outside of your head and be who you were destined to
To
be.
be. Yes.
Yeah. So make sure you like, follow, and subscribe to the podcast. Gems with Genesis Amaris Kemp is on 40 plus platforms. You could also watch the video to this recording by going to YouTube and just typing in the name of the show. And my big ask is for brand sponsors, because it does take monetary resources to fuel the mission and movement, which is to keep bringing y'all content that's educational,
Right.
inspirational, and motivational, while also weaving in my personal favorites, DEIB, which is diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. So I
Well,
love you.
what is that right there? What did you just say right there? What was that?
DEIB,
Right.
diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging.
Can you give me just like a 30 seconds of what that means?
So for me, that means that we're going to be diverse with what we're doing. So diverse in music, diverse in thought, diverse in
Right. Okay.
ideas. Inclusivity is making sure whoever is part of that diversity is included, like they have a space at the table. We're not just inviting them, but they're also
Okay.
partaking what we're doing metaphorically at the table.
Okay.
Belonging is making sure they feel like a sense of belonging, like they are part of it. We're not just having representation, but we're inclusive in that representation where everyone is seen and heard. And then equity is leveling the playing field for everybody.
Okay, that go, girl. I like that. Okay.
So
And then
yeah.
one more thing. Please do follow me on Instagram. Marcellus underscore Curtis.
And there you have it,
Yeah.
y'all. Genesis Amaris Kemp and Marcellus L. Curtis. All of our info will be in the show notes. So thank you so much for listening to this segment, and we can't wait to bring you more content. Have an amazing day.
God bless.